Hare Krishna, everybody.
Hare Krishna.
I hope you had a nice Ekadasi yesterday and Mahadwadasi today. And we're heading for Purnima again. Right? Another Purnima. Bhadra Purnima. This is the month of Bhadra. Month of Bhadra. Month of Bhadra is the month that Balaram appears, Balaram Purnima, and then Radharani appears in this month, and Vamana appears in this month, and Bhadra Purnima appears in this month. Bhadra Purnima is a very special day. Right? I forgot to put that slide at the end, but there's I'll remind me at the end if I forget. Bhadra Purnima. Message. So this is Dwadasi, Vamana Dwadasi. So there's a nice image of Lord Vamana, and I'll invite, if you can raise your hand and say something, when you think of Lord Vamana, what comes to your mind? Lord Vamana. He's short, right? He's a dwarf. Dwarf Brahmin. Vamana. What else? Yeah. Okay. King's head. Okay. Vamana. What comes to mind when you think of Vamana? Anyone else? Anything? No. I want to hear the silent majority out here. Vamana. Vamana. Yes. There we go. So Das Avatar means there's 12 primary Leela Avatars. They're Leela Avatars. Because there's different categories of avatars. So the Leela avatars are, prominent ones are 12 in number. And there's a song written about them. Who wrote that song about them, the 12 avatars? And we sing our Nrisimha prayers, that's one of them. So who's the author? Jayadev Goswami. You knew, you just wanted to see if I knew. Jayadev Goswami, he wrote these and sang these in part of his Gita Govinda, very celebrated sets of Gitas, songs about Govinda, including his expansions, the Das Avatars. Anything else? Let me prompt you. Krishna appeared according to what he spoke to Vasudeva and Devaki. He appeared, this was his third appearance. Was one of those appearances Lord Vamana? Yes. Very good. The first was Prishnigarbha. Krishna said this in his talks with Vasudeva and Devaki in the prison house of Kamsa. Three times I appeared as your son. You, when you were Sutapa and Prishni in Satyayug, you very much desired to have me as your son. I agreed. And I said not only one time, three times. I appeared as Prishnigarbha, the son of Sutapa and Prishni. That was in Satyayuga. This is in the next one, the same yuga as Lord Ram, Treta Yuga. I appeared as the son of Kashyapa and Aditi. And now as Treta Yuga, Dwarpa Yuga, excuse me, as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki. Same Lord appearing in different Leela avatar forms. Vasudeva Krishna, the same as Lord Vamanadev. So the king, so now we're going to ask you some questions about the king that he placed his third step on the head of. The king's name was Bali Maharaj. Tell me something that you can think of Bali Maharaj. Very good, very good. Prahlad Maharaj's grandson, which means he was born in a family of demons, because Prahlad was in the family of you-know-who, that bad guy, Hiranyakashipu, you know, the best of the demons. And his Prahlad's grandson was Bali. What else do we know about Bali Maharaj? Bali Maharaj, let's see if the other people besides you two know. Bali. Bali Maharaj. Anything. Yeah. He's what? He was proud? He was a great fighter, but he wasn't exactly proud. He was a good fighter. But he surrendered everything to Vamana, so he wasn't like too proud. Okay, I'll help you. According to Srimad Bhagavatam and according to Mahabharat, there are 12 great authorities. Mahajans, they're called. Mahajano yena katha sapanta. Bali Maharaj is one of those. He's a great authority. He's one of the top 12 authorities in all of history. Bali Maharaj. Another question. This is from Nectar Devotion. There's nine stages of bhakti. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Bandaram, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmeni Vedanam. Add them up, it's 12. So Bali Maharaj achieved perfection through one of those 12. What was the method, or what is he known for achieving perfection? So which one of those 12, besides you two? Think about what he did. Think about the pastime. When Vamana placed his third step on his head, what did that signify? He was surrendering everything. Surrendering everything. Body, mind, words, possessions. Well, here. He was ready to give Vamana everything. He said, I'm a little Brahmin. I don't need everything. I don't need riches. I don't need a kingdom. I don't need a palace. I don't need those things. Thank you. Just 3 paces of land. So after he gave 2 paces, Vamana said, hey, you promised 3 and I took everything in 2. So you broke your promise. Then we'll see what's over here. Atma Nivedana. That's the surrendering everything. That's the Sanskrit. Atma Nivedana. Atma Nivedana. He achieved perfection by surrendering everything to Vishnu. Because that's kind of like all 8 put together into number 9. Okay, so he's very important in the appearance of Lord Vamana. And we'll go back a few chapters from his appearance and describe a little bit what this image is showing. We know from Bhagavad Gita that there is always a struggle between the divine and demoniac natures, yes? Divine and demoniac. It's a whole chapter in Bhagavad Gita. So in the world in which we live, there is such a struggle. And in the higher realms, there is such a struggle. A struggle between the demigods and the demons, or, you know, the sons of Hiranyakashipu and descent, the demons. So Prahlad was a very different kind of, you know, he was born in that family, but he was a devotee. And Bali Maharaj was also a devotee. A perfect, and he became perfect. What he was a Vaishnava, he was a devotee. But being the head of the dynasty in which he was living, there was a call to arms. So the demons challenged in battle the demigods. It was a really big battle. That's what the image is intending to show. And during that battle, something very unfortunate happened. Bali Maharaj was killed. But his spiritual master named Shukracharya knew how to bring him back to life. So he brought him back to life. Good for him. So then, being restored to life, he was feeling very indebted to his spiritual master, Shukracharya, and feeling he wanted to do something about those demigods. And so he performed what's described in the Bhagavatam as a Vishva Jit Yagya, and went on for many days, and arising from the fire of the Yagya came what he was wanting. He wanted the means to have combat with the demigods again. A chariot, horses, a flag, a bow, armor, and two quivers of arrows. And when all of that happened, his grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj, came, gave Bali an eternal garland of flowers. That's pretty rare. And his spiritual master, Shukracharya, gave him a conch shell. So now he's ready for battle. Blow the conch shell and off into battle. So that takes a whole chapter. Then there's another chapter describing when Indra saw Bali Maharaj having amassed humongous army and many chiefs, what to speak of what came out of the Yagya, the horses, the chariot, the weapons, his conch shell, the whole thing. It looked like they were finished. And it looked as if they would swallow the sky and burn all directions. Very fierce. So what did Indra do? He went to his spiritual master. Who's the spiritual master of the demigods? Brihaspati. Yes? No? You don't know. Brihaspati. So he went to Brihaspati, and Brihaspati said, there's some special benediction that Bali has received. He will defeat you all, so don't engage in battle. Best if you exit stage left. Just make yourselves invisible and wait for the proper time. So Bali, without a big fight, he took over Swarga, the heavenly realm, and he made his capital Indra's palace. And while there, according to the Bhagavatam, guided by the descendants of Bhrigu, because Shukracharya is from the Bhrigu line, he engaged Bali Maharaj in 100 Ashwamedha Yagyas. So with the Ashwamedha Yagya, what means is the performer becomes very opulent. So he was in heaven, enjoying opulence like anything. And so what happens next? Indra lost his kingdom. And who's the mother and father of Indra? Not besides you two. Mother? Aditi. Very good. And the father, Aditi's husband, starts with a K. K. Kasyapa. So Aditi consulted with Kasyapa. What to do? Our son lost his kingdom. It's being occupied by Bali Maharaj and the Daityas, and they're very powerful. The advice was, and Bhrigu, his advice was, perform this Payavrata Yagya, Payavrata ceremony or Yagya, involves a certain kind of fasting and a certain kind of other rituals and procedures. So after Aditi had performed the Yagya, The personality of Godhead Vishnu appeared before her, as you see in the painting here. And she appealed, please take birth as my son and do the needful. As my son, take care of regaining the kingdom for your younger brother. So, excuse me, older brother. Indra was the older brother. He was an earlier son of Aditi and Kashyapa. In fact, a number of the devas were their offspring. So Vamana was the younger brother. So after some time, now this says, during the reign of Vaivasvatamanu. What does that mean, Vaivasvatamanu? I'll explain, unless somebody wants besides you two. What is Vaivasvatamanu? What do we know about the reign of Vaivasvatamanu? One of them is that Krishna appeared during Vaivasvatamanu, and Vamana appeared just before Krishna during. So each day of Brahma, consists of 1,000 yuga cycles. And in each day of Brahma, there's 14 manus. So 14 doesn't go into 1,000, but with an equal number. So it's something like 71 and some decibel yuga cycles, or yuga cycles and then a sandhi, and then there's another change of manus. So Vaivasvatamanu is manu number 7 out of the 14. So according to the Bhagavatam, Vamana appeared during this reign of Vaivasvatamanu, and he appeared as the son of these, the Brahmana, Kashyapa, and Brahmani, Aditi. So he appears as their son. And here's what he looked like. Of course, he didn't look like that when he was first born. But there's a close-up of what he looked like. And, you know, big festival, big ceremony. And some time passed, not too much time passed, because Indra wants his kingdom back and Aditi wants Lord Vishnu in the form of Lord Vamana to assist. But he's a little Brahmin boy. So what's a little Brahmin boy, dwarf, like a midget? What's he going to do to regain the kingdom? Well, he did by cleverness, by exhibiting his divine potency. Knowing, of course, that Bali Maharaj is at heart a devotee, what happened was Vamana appeared on the scene when yet another yajna was being done. During that yajna, it was a yajna, again, Shukracharya and the priests in the Bhrigu line, they were doing a yajna. And it's always considered auspicious for the purpose of the yajna when a sadhu comes and participates in the yajna. So they didn't arrange for Vamana to come, but he just came. The description is really nice. So it's one of my favorite parts of this whole pastime. He just appeared on the horizon, because commonly yajnas are done in the morning hours, early morning hours. They begin at the early morning and they go, because that's auspicious time. And then they go for the whole day, commonly, these big yajnas. So the sun had already risen, but when Vamana came from a distance on the horizon, they saw, looked like another sun was rising. Very, very brilliant. Effulgent, blinding, they couldn't even see him because it was just the effulgence of Vamana. And as he was approaching, they could then slowly make out it wasn't another sun rising, it was a person. And as he got a little closer, they could understand it was a dwarf Brahmin. And it describes how he was decorated. He was wearing a belt made of munja straw, That shows over here. That's the Munja straw belt. An upper garment of deer skin and a sacred thread. And carrying in his hands three things. A danda, that's in his right hand. The umbrella is in his right hand. And a kamandalu, his water pot, was in his left hand. And he appeared at the sacrificial arena of Bali Maharaj. Now, because he's one of the 10 principal Leela avatars, there's lots of nice paintings of him. They don't all show in the deer skin and upper part of his body, but they show most of the other things. Here's another. There's his water pot. There's his umbrella. Doesn't show this stick. There's some deity forms of him, look like this. Looks very happy. A little chubby, but happy. And as soon as he approached, Bali had a feeling that he's a devotee. And here comes the Supreme Lord. So the feeling was, he was feeling ecstatic. He was feeling super joyful. And in his heart, aside from the auspiciousness that was being created at this yajna by his presence, he just wanted to give charity to this celebrated person, whoever he was. So immediately, he offered a suitable welcome. Now, there's several images that show Bali that's pouring water from his water pot. Looks like standing behind him is Shukracharya. Here's Bali and his wife cleansing the hands of Vamana. It's shown same thing here. And it's shown the same thing here. Of course, different styles of painting. And he was that nice exchange of words. The little person behind, who knows who that is? Because if Bali's a dwarf, what does that mean about the other person behind him? But he looks happy anyway. And very suitable words were exchanged, and Bali made an arrangement to give him an appropriate seat of honor. And in the blue shirt, that's Bali Maharaj. With the long white beard, that Shukracharya kind of like warning him, don't do it, don't honor him so much. And in fact, Shukracharya advised Bali, don't surrender to Vishnu, because the offer was made by Bali, you come, I'd like to give in charity, tell me what you would like. I could offer you one of the heavenly planets, or I could offer you riches, or I could offer you, tell me what you like. And Vamana said, I'm a little brahmacharya, I don't want anything. But if you really insist, then you can give me 3 paces of land. And Bali looked at his legs and said, 3 paces of land. Your legs are so short. He said, no, that's okay. I don't have many needs. And Shukracharya understood. Now, he didn't see the personality of Godhead as one might want him to see the personality of Godhead. He saw that he was a challenger to his own position. It goes like this. He said, if you surrender to him, listen to this logic. If you surrender to him, he'll take everything. And if he takes everything, then you won't be able to perform sacrifices anymore, because you have to give in charity to do sacrifices. You won't have anything to give to perform sacrifices. And then I'll be on the unemployment list. He didn't say that, though. But, you know, those who have a wealthy benefactor for yajñas, they see this is their means of maintenance. And Shukracharya was seemingly seeing like that. No, he'll take everything from you. But I have a solution. You gave a promise, and Kshatriyas are supposed to maintain their promise, but you didn't say Om. And since you didn't say Om, then it doesn't really count as a promise, so you can go against it. Tricky. Brahmins can be tricky sometimes. But Bali didn't go for it. Bali said, not only I gave my word and I'll keep it, but I want to give him. And I want to give him whatever he wants. So, look at the people behind Vamana. They're trying to figure out who is this little boy. Effulgent, like the sun. There's Shukracharya, who looks really astonished. So Shukracharya became very angry. And, you know, you're violated the instruction that I've given you. So you'll be cursed. You'll have to pay for this, for violating the instructions of the spiritual master. Now, this is an important step in the whole pastime, because there's this nice description when Bhishma Dev, Grandfather Bhishma, is instructed by Lord Parashuram, his Danur guru, his guru in the matter of military skills. Bhishma Dev learned everything from him. Right? So, he said, you're instructing me to marry Amba, but I've taken a vow I'll not marry. So there are three grounds under which one can not follow an instruction of the spiritual master. And this was one of them. An instruction that goes against scripture, you don't follow it. Now you have to be clear what's scripture, what's not against scripture. But since worship of the personality of Godhead Vishnu is what's enjoined in the scripture, and you're saying don't worship Vishnu, then I have to not follow it. But being proud, Shukracharya was saying, well, you violated scripture, and so you're going to get a reaction. It becomes important is what happens later. He did the right thing, and Shukracharya did the wrong thing. So then with the first step, it was really high. He covered the whole Bhuloka and Bhuvarloka and Swargaloka. That's a lot, heavenly planets. When you look up in the sky at night, I mean, even in Chicago, when there's not clouds, you can see sometimes cities, the lights of the city are too bright. You can't see the stars in the sky. But when you can see stars in the sky, according to Vedic astronomy, those are the heavenly planets. There's three stages, Bhuloka, Bhuvarloka, and Swargaloka. It's those three. You with me? And the topmost of those three is Dhruvaloka. Dhruvaloka is at the very, very topmost section of the heavenly region. And there's four more regions above that which we can't see in the night sky. Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, and Brahmaloka. We can't see them. For different reasons, they're too high. We can't see. But, so since in the first step he covered up to Swargaloka, that's pretty big. He had a very big body. His leg became very big. Although he was a dwarf, he expanded his body like that. With his hands, he covered all directions, and with his second footstep, he covered the entire upper planetary system. That's Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, Brahmaloka. Therefore, there was no vacant place where he could take his third footstep. It said, you know this, with his second step pierced the covering of the universe. Yes? The covering of the universe is fantastically big. And what's on the other side of the universe? Causal ocean. Causal ocean. On the other side of the coverings of the universe is the causal ocean. So water from the causal ocean came. And the water from the causal ocean washed Vamana's foot. And that foot bath, Charnamrita, then descended into the heavenly region. There's a whole story that we hear both in Ramayana and in Srimad Bhagavatam about the descent of the Ganges from the upper planetary systems. You familiar? King Sagara, you know the story? You know the story? You want to hear the story? Yes? King Sagara had two wives. One had, how many sons was it? 100 sons? 100 sons. And the other wife had one son. So he, King Sagara, was going to perform Ashvamedha Yajna, some number of them. And when it got to be too many, Indra started getting nervous. Uh-oh. Maybe he's trying to become so opulent that he wants to take over my position. So what did he do? He stole the horse. He stole the horse. And where did he take the horse? Down at the bottom of the planetary regions, at the abode of Lord Kapila and Patala Loka. Patala Loka is at the bottom of the lower planetary systems. So the Brahmins said, you better find that horse. Because if you don't find the horse, we can't do the yajna. And if you don't do the yajna, we started the yajna. If you don't finish the yajna, you're going to have a big reaction. So you got to find the horse. So he sent his 100 sons, find the horse. They went in all directions. They came back, Dad, we can't find a horse. He said, go look again. You got to find a horse. Even if you have to dig up the earth. So they started digging up the earth, and they went down and down and down and down into Patala Loka. They saw the horse. And they saw Kapila. He was doing meditation. And they thought, he's the thief. So that with their weapons, they started to attack. That was a big mistake. Don't attack Lord Kapila. Their bodies burst into flames and then immediately turned to ashes. All 100 sons, just a pile of bones and ashes. So they didn't come back and report, Dad, we couldn't find the horse. We found the horse, but we got burned to death. So they didn't. He was waiting and waiting, and, you know, the yajna hadn't been completed. So he asked his other son, find the horse. So it's a little bit long story, but he couldn't find the horse. The next son couldn't find the horse. Next son found the horse. And the one that found the horse, his name was? Ansuman. He found the horse, and he went before Kapila and said, can I have the horse? Sure, take the horse. And, you know, what about this pile of ashes over here? So that's your 100, you know, grandparents. They tried to attack me. And so, you know, but what to do to release their souls from bondage? So you have to bring the Ganges water down here. So he went back, brought the horse, the yajna was completed. That's one problem solved. But what about the deceased souls at 100 sons of Sagara? So long story continues. Bhagiratha found a way to bring the Ganges down to Patalaloka. It's a long story. It's narrated in Ramayana. Long story. Why am I telling that long story? I forget now. Yeah. Vamana Deva's, the water, the Ganges is the water that washed the feet of Lord Vamana and descended to what we now know today is the Ganges, but it's not just on this planet, it's on the heavenly planets. It's in the top of Mount Sumeru flowing in four directions and went all the way down to Patalaloka. It's purifying. It's part of the Lord's arrangement to purify places. So that was the second step. So then he said, where am I supposed to put my third step? So there's different images showing the first two steps. Here's one of them. That's nice deity form carved in some image here. You know, all the personalities down below are who they are. There's another. I like this artist. This is Vrindavan. If you like art, VrindavanArt.com. That's where this comes from. And he has some really fantastic Radhakrishna paintings. VrindavanArt.com. So that's his painting. There's Lord Brahma in the background. The king in the foreground, Shukracharya over his shoulder. And so then there's the third foot going on the head of Bali. So Bali said, well, the only thing I can offer that you haven't covered already is my head. And so Vamana placed his foot on his head, which was a benediction. It's a sign of humility. It's the Atmanivedana, surrendering everything. He already gave all his possessions, and now he's giving himself. Another painting, there's the three steps, very old painting. Third step goes on his head. Then Vamana said, you know what? You broke your promise. Kings aren't supposed to break your promise. I said three paces of land. You gave me the third step as your head. So you broke your promise. So you have to be punished. And he asked around, what's the fit punishment? And it was decided that he would be bound up like a criminal. And there's a very interesting section, which there isn't time to read, but maybe I'll invite you, because it's Vamana Dwadasi. It's in this eighth canto, and it's a description of, different persons came to talk about what should happen. One of the important persons is Bali Maharaj had a sister. When Bali Maharaj's sister first saw Vamana, she thought, oh, he's transcendentally attractive. Maybe in my next life I can have him as my son. But then when she saw Vamana have her brother bound up after surrendering everything, she said, I want to kill him. So in her next life, she became Putana. That's one of the persons. She's not so much spoken about in the Bhagavatam, but it's mentioned specifically in relation to Putana. Who was she in her previous life? Some person said, terrible, this is really the wrong thing. Bali Maharaj's grandfather, Prahlad, said, it was good. He did the right thing. And so there was like, you know how it goes. Rah, rah, rah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Rah, rah, rah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was like back and forth. And then Bali Maharaj had him freed. Excuse me. Vamana had him freed and said, I just wanted to, essentially this. I just wanted to show the world. Just see how exalted is Bali Maharaj. Everything was taken from him, and not a word of protest, not a thought of protest. See how exalted is his devotion. He was so surrendered to me that I could take everything from him and it would be no complaint. And there's another deity form of Lord Vamana, another with his third step, or at least his second step. Vamana placed him on the planet Sutala. This is right from Wikipedia. In the universal form, there are seven upper and seven lower planets. And the planet that Vamana gave, so he's losing the heavenly kingdom, but he gave him Sutala kingdom. And there in Sutala, he would have more opulence than the king of heaven would have in heaven. So these lower planetary systems, doesn't mean that there's lots of things that it says in the Bhagavatam about them. Above, there's sunlight. Below, there's no sunlight. But there's light in the form of nagas that have jewels on their head and things are, that gives illumination. And there's opulence. It's sometimes called the subterranean heavenly planets. The lower planetary systems have an enormous opulence. But those that have enormous opulence often see opportunity for enjoyment. That's kind of what happens in heaven. They have so much enjoyment, they kind of check out of their devotional life and get into enjoyment. Like people that are wealthy and they go on vacation, they're not into like do religious things commonly. It's more and more so, it's go and enjoy. And then go back to work and earn some more money so you can go and enjoy again. That's the material conception. So in Sutala, the award that was given by Vamana to Bali was he would have such opulence, but he would not be consider himself to be the enjoyer of that opulence. And so that he would not be harmed by anyone, he would personally protect him. He would stand at the gate and protect him. So Vamana is at the gate of Sutala to not let unqualified people come in and harm Bali. I mean, it's even more than Krishna becoming the chariot driver of Arjuna. The chariot driver is like your chauffeur. It's not a big honored position. But it's an intimate position. The chauffeur has an important function to perform. Krishna performed that function for his devotee, Arjuna. Vamana became the gatekeeper. And it's told in Ramayana that once Ravana, in the course of his travels here and there, to try to conquer people, he thought, let me go conquer Bali Maharaj. So I have to go visit him in Sutala. And Vamana wouldn't let him in. And, you know, Ravana said, wait a minute. You're a little dwarf. And I'm Ravana. Get out of the way. And so Vamana just kicked him. 1 foot. And Ravana, with his toe, sent him flying 10,000 yojanas away. So don't mess with Lord Vamana. There's also a section that says he expanded his Sudarshan chakra to stand and guard Vamana in addition to his own presence. That was awarded similarly. It was awarded to Ambarish Maharaj. Ambarish? Ambarish? Going once? Going twice? You know Ambarish. Ambarish Maharaj? Yes? In the back. Yes. You know who is Ambarish Maharaj? Yes, something?
I hear his name, I know.
Okay. Okay. Ambarish Maharaj was the one that Durvasa Muni wanted to kill. Yeah. So when Durvasa Muni tried to kill him, Sudarshan Chakra, because before that event of Ambarish having his little encounter with Durvasa Muni, the personality of Godhead Vishnu expanded his Sudarshan Chakra to stand by the side of Ambarish Maharaj and protect him. So when Durvasa Muni did what he did, Sudarshan Chakra wasn't going to just stand by and watch it happen. Sudarshan Chakra cut down the fiery weapon and went chasing after Durvasa Muni. So he did the same thing with Bali Maharaj. So actually Bali Maharaj is a great devotee, like Prahlad was a great devotee, perfect devotee. Prahlad is one of the Mahajans also, one of the 12. But Bali is one of the 12 as well. So although they're born in that kind of family, their quality is the topmost. And the standard of topmost is completely dedicated to the personality of Godhead service. So when Shukracharya said, don't surrender, he wasn't going to not surrender, wasn't going to follow that instruction. Because that's the quality of devotee. He put himself at risk, and there was some, you know, anger. When you got a brahmana angry, you could have a problem. Better to have a brahmana angry and surrender to Vishnu than not surrender to Vishnu and have a brahmana like you. The real goal is to take shelter of the personality of Godhead. Bali knew that. And and how he instructed others as a Mahajan is very significant. So we don't hear so much in the scriptures of instructions from Bali. We just hear about his credential. Completely surrendered. And when things don't go right, when you're fully surrendered, you don't whine and complain because you're fully surrendered. And then I'll end with this. There's a nice part of Srila Prabhupada's purport where he explains about the difficulty that Bali was put in, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead may give some obstacles and some challenges and some tests. And when you're a devotee, those things that happen that are in that category, obstacles, challenges, and tests, it's an arrangement of the personality of Godhead. It's not a punishment. And then Prabhupada explains the Supreme Lord who puts the devotee in difficulty also gives the devotee the strength to overcome the difficulty. That's the good news, isn't it? We need strength to do, you know, just kind of exist in the modern world. But the strength to do what you need to do in the modern world and in your life and in your spiritual progress, the strength to fulfill all of that is provided by the person who we're submitting to. He has that strength and he gives that strength. That's the good news. So we're celebrating today Vamana Dwadasi. And let's see if there's any comments or questions. Okay. Bhadra Purnim. On Tuesday, Bhais Dwadasi, Triyodasi Chaturdasi Purnima. So we'll be observing the Purnima on Tuesday. And all around the world, you probably know this already, but I'll say it again anyway. All around the world, in ISKCON, we're honoring Balaram Purnima in a very special way because there's a verse in Canto 12, Chapter 13 of Srimad Bhagavatam that says, for one who gives as a gift Srimad Bhagavatam on Bhadra Purnima on a golden throne, then just that act of giving a gift of Srimad Bhagavatam entitles one to go back to Godhead after this life. So all over the world, our ISKCON centers are encouraging members to purchase, if they don't already have, a Bhagavatam for their home. And if they already have a Bhagavatam, in their home, think of somebody, family, friend, relative, in any language that you like, and you can gift them a Srimad Bhagavatam on Bhadra Purnima. I just got a little note from Madhu Mangal. Someone just hearing what I just said, they stepped forward. I want five. And then again, different languages, and they have relatives in India, this and that, and some friends, their neighbors or something. So that happened here right in this complex. Last year, year before, whatever it was, it's how this thing started, is going door to door and encouraging people to buy sets of Bhagavatams. So if you know somebody that you'd like to give a gift of Srimad Bhagavatam to, it's a good time to do it. Bhadra Purnima, next Tuesday. Last is the North American minister for book distribution is named Vaisheshika Prabhu, Grahastha, lives in Silicon Valley, California. He's made arrangement with some pundits in Naimisharanya to do a yagya where Srimad Bhagavatam is spoken in Naimisharanya. On Bhadra Purnima Day, with names being named of all the persons all around the world that are participating in this Bhadra Purnima event. So it's auspicious on top of auspicious. So that's the Bhadra Purnima topic. Let's see if there's some discussion about Bali or Vamana or any of the lessons that we have heard or could try to understand. Yes.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. When we think about that Bali Maharaj, like the point which I liked is like when you see the Supreme Personality is coming, he didn't know he came like a Vamana.
Yeah.
But the feeling is there, right?
Yes.
His Supreme Lord is coming.
Yes.
That I see the connection there.
Yeah.
Number one. And number two, like, even though his spiritual master said, no, do not surrender to the Vamana Dev, right? He didn't say Vishnu. But even then, he went ahead and surrendered because he knew what is the right thing to do.
Yes.
As per the scriptures. Yes. And the point here is like I liked how the Supreme Personality is glorifying his devotees by giving the difficulties.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, Maharaj. So now the question comes here, Maharaj, like when in my childhood my uncle used to say that don't pray God too much, he will test you too much. So
don't pray to God too much.
He will give you.
Yeah,
even
test you too much.
He will be giving you the last sentence which you said, Maharaj, like the obstacle, challenges, and everything he will give. So it will be a little difficult for you to handle. Like that he said. So I'm afraid to go closer to God during my childhood days, but not now. the last.
You're praying for your uncle. That's what you're doing now.
I'm doing as well, Maharaj. Yeah. Maharaj, I want you to elaborate a little bit on this, Maharaj, like the devotees, right? For devotees, the obstacle, challenges and everything is coming, and he's also giving us strength to handle that.
Yes.
But by giving the challenge and by giving the strength, yes, we are achieving it, but what is the outcome? Like how it benefits the devotee, I'm trying to understand, Maharaj.
Well, it's really simple. We're covered. And we're attached to the covering. We're not attached to the misery that comes with the covering, but we're attached to the covering. So by removing of the covering which you're attached to, it feels uncomfortable because we're attached. But what's really happening is he's taking away our misery. Because the misery is the product of attachment to the temporary. It's really kind. Another nice way of saying the same thing. There's many nice ways of saying the same thing. One of them I like is from Brahma Samhita. You may know the verse. If you know the verse, you can say it with me. Yastvindragopam atavendra mahosva karma bandanarupam palabhajanam atunoti karmani nirdahitakintuja bhakti bhajam govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. So in the verse, Brahma is saying, from Indra, the king of heaven, down to the Indra Gopa germ, the Supreme Lord Govinda is giving that which one deserves, karma, each according to his position. And for the devotee, bhakti bhajam, for those persons who are engaged in bhakti, he doesn't give karma, but he takes away the very root of the tendency for fruitive activities. Namely, nescience and sinful desire. So that's the experience for the devotee. That's the tribulation experience. It's removal of nescience or ignorance. We're attached to it. We're not attached to suffering. We're attached to ignorance, unfortunately. That's not a very pleasant mode. It gives suffering. So if you can become free from ignorance, you don't suffer. Instead, you get Krishna. At least you have the opportunity. So the medium of bhakti, you're connecting with Krishna. So that's how to understand the situation. With bhakti comes the strength to carry out bhakti.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj.
He doesn't push you in the pool and you don't know how to swim and he just laughs. Go ahead and drown. I'll watch you drown. If that's not, he gives the strength to carry forward. And in that, it's not karma. It's the elimination of ignorance or nescience. When it's happening, because we're attached, it feels uncomfortable. But on the other side of that uncomfortable is cleansed of nescience. Then you see light. And you can see real happiness. You can see Krishna. Until then, we can't. It's notional. Okay?
Yes, very much. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. So the question I have is, Bali Maharaj is from the family of demons, right?
Mm.
So despite being from the family of demons, why did he have the instant connection with the Vamana? Like Ravana has seen Rama, but he did not have instant connection. They fought, right? And there were other demons too who fought the Lord. But why did he surrender himself instead of fighting?
Well, it doesn't say specifically that he heard from his grandfather, but one can assume that he heard from his grandfather. Because his grandfather was there when he did his yagya, his grandfather was there when he got this thing happening. So his grandfather was connected with the grandson. So the grandfather's going to talk about bhakti. So he heard. And he had bhakti from hearing. You know, it was aroused by his association with his grandfather. Yeah. Okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Yeah, Hare Krishna.
This is a question regarding the Dashavataras.
Okay.
Many places, I don't remember, but I see the 10 avataras.
Yes.
There is no mention about the Lord Buddha. However, I see it in the Bhagavad Gita by Srila Prabhupada as the Lord Buddha as one of the avatar, but in many places. So is it like, is it missed out, or like, is there any reason that Lord Buddha is not mentioned when I saw?
I don't know what this you're looking at, but I know it's in Bhagavatam Canto 1, Chapter 3, and Bhagavatam Canto 2, Chapter 7. Buddha is mentioned specifically as Avatar Vishnu. And he's in the category of Leela Avatar, so it's just 2 plus 2 equals 4. Now, how is it determined? Das, you know, why 10 and not 11 or 9 or 15 or something? I don't have the answer for that, other than, you know, I don't think Jayadev just made it up. There must be some scriptural reference saying these are the 10 principal ones, but he glorified the 10 principal ones, including Buddha, Buddha Sharira, Jaya Jagadisha Hare. So, it's in the Bhagavatam. It's just not just in the painting that's in Bhagavad Gita, it's in the Bhagavatam. It's probably in other Puranas which I'm not familiar with. Okay? Behind you?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. So I got a doubt, you know, and also related to the Bali Maharaj is a grandson of Prahlad Maharaj.
Yeah.
Okay. As you mentioned in another question, you know, there is a connectivity from grandfather to the grandson.
Yeah.
So this Shukracharya is like, you know, is a spiritual guru for this Bali Maharaj, right?
Not spiritual guru, guru.
Guru, yeah.
Guru. Purohit.
Yeah, yeah. But as we heard, like, about the Shukracharya, he has always agonist with the Lord Supreme, right? Is my understanding is correct?
I'm not sure what you just said. Say
Shukracharya.
It again.
Shukracharya is always going to be opposite of the Lord, the Supreme Lord.
Yes,
right?
He's in opposition to the yeah. Lord's supremacy.
There my question raised here. So, Prahlad Maharaj's grandson is Bali Maharaj. So why he went to Shukracharya?
Because he's the priest or spiritual master of his clan. Like, you know, Kula Guru, the family guru.
Yes.
In that family line, he's the guru. And he has a long life. It's through many generations. He's Shukracharya. He has sons, but he's the big guy. So he accepted because it's just culture. Yeah. But when it came right down to it, he knew scripture because he heard something from his grandfather and whatever else he got the source of scripture. So, He was polite, but when it crossed the line, he was ready to just be with Vishnu. Because he knew that's the goal. That's what the scripture says. And I learned it from my grandfather. So you're saying something other. All respects, but I'm not going to follow it. It's following the family guru, respectfully, but not at heart, not, you know, the full surrender goes to Vishnu. Okay?
Okay.
Yes, up front. It's a trick. There we go.
So, if Bali Maharaj...
No, let her. She's good.
If Bali Maharaj is like such an exalted devotee and he knows that Vishnu is the ulterior goal, then why did he even have the idea of like going and taking over Indra's place?
He's just doing his duty. That's... There are persons that have a duty. And they just do their duty without attachment to the results. Let's take another example. You know the story of Vritrasura? No. Vritrasura? You know that one? Canto 6. So it's King Chittaketu, It's a long story, but make it short. King Chitraketu became perfected soul by the grace of Narada. He, in his same lifetime, he went to an upper planetary region, Vidyadhara Loka, and was the ruler of Vidyadhara Loka. He went one time to visit Lord Shiva. They were on equal level, that's like really high, and Parvati took a comment that he made to Lord Shiva as an insult, so Parvati cursed him. You don't know, understand Lord Shiva's greatness. I curse you, you become a demon. So he descended from his vimana, his craft, came before Parvati and said, I didn't insult him, but I accept because your curse is something I accept. He circumambulated her three times and he left. He became a demon. And in this demon position, what demons are in opposition to Indra. So he was in opposition to Indra, but he wasn't in opposition to Indra. He said, Indra, you got this benediction from Lord Vishnu that you can destroy me. And the weapon to do it is your thunderbolt. Here's my neck. Go to it, Indra. He was taking the role of one who's an enemy of Indra, because that was part of how he became Vidrasura. It's a long story. Part of the long story. But he's just playing the role. But he's a devotee. So the question came up by Shukadeva Goswami hearing, explaining this to Maharaj Pariksit, said, wow. How does somebody that's in the body of a demon have such exalted spiritual quality like Vidrasura? Then he told the story, how it happened. King Chitraketu, he became a perfected soul. Parvati misunderstood him. She cursed him. He became a demon. He was a topmost devotee, but he's taking the role of an enemy of Indra. Because that's what that's how he came out of a fire, Vidrasura. So that's just a Puranic story to say someone may take a position that, you know, by common sense, you don't oppose Indra and beat him up and take over the heavenly kingdom and do all that stuff. You don't do that. But he's the head of the Daitya clan, and he's supposed to lead the Daitya clan. And he's got this military capacity, and so he used it for the purposes of the Daitya clan. But at heart, it's not like I'm going to beat up on Indra. Now, we wouldn't do stuff like that. We're not so qualified to, like Bollywood's qualified. Yes?
Hare Krishna. Is there any reason why Krishna chose Vrindavana to perform his pastimes?
Why he went to Vrindavan?
Yeah.
Why he chose Vrindavan?
Mm-hmm.
That's your question?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. Vrindavan is his eternal abode. So when Krishna comes, he comes with his whole abode.
Mm-hmm.
So, and with his whole abode means Govardhan Hill, River Jamuna, the cows, his eternal associates, the cowherd boyfriends, his mother and father, all of those entities, beings, not just human, all of them are parts of Krishna's eternal associates. And his abode is too. So he went to Vrindavan because that's his eternal abode. He came with his abode and he manifested his pastimes. And then when they were over, he withdrew them. All the people, all the cows, all the this and the that's from material vision, but he was displaying his pastimes that are eternally existing for the world to see and for us to talk about and, you know, appreciate. But he chose Vrindavan because that's his place eternally.
Okay, thank you.
How about in the back there? Anything? Okay. That's something online?
One question from Divyambara Mataji. In case of Bali Maharaj, because he was fully surrendered to the Lord, so offense to Brahmana is not considered. Whereas for sadhana bhaktas, the instruction is to honor Brahmanas as they are dear to Krishna. Does it only apply to Krishna conscious Brahmanas?
Well, no. It doesn't only apply to Krishna conscious Brahmanas, but if someone, whether, you know, in the garb of a Vaishnava or not, if they say, don't surrender to Vishnu, you're not obliged to follow that and honor whatever they say because that's against scripture. Okay.
This question is from Sanchari. Are the gurus of the demons qualified like that of the Vaishnavas?
No.
How do we consider them when on one hand you have the teachers of Prahlad Maharaj and on the other you have Bali Maharaj's guru?
Well, Shukracharya was around when Prahlad was around. The two sons of Shukracharya were his teachers, but Shukracharya was around. And the teachers and Shukracharya were saying things that Prahlad, he was being polite. He went to school, but he wasn't interested in what they were teaching because it was, you know, totally, it was demoniac what they were teaching. So it was no interest. But so they were not, the two teachers and Shukracharya were not qualified to train anybody. Fortunately, Prahlad had the discrimination to know no thank you. And specifically when it came to don't surrender to Vishnu, Bali had the discrimination to say no thank you. I think I've answered the question.
Excuse me, Maharaj. Maharaj, there's kind of a technical question, like when he's covered the whole universe, Bali Maharaj is inside the universe, right? So he also, as if like he covered it in his steps, right? So why do you need to keep the third step on top of Bali Maharaj?
Well, it was just clever. I mean, there isn't a third step because he's already covered everything in two steps. So what's left? Please push your third foot on my head, which didn't achieve three steps of land because his head is not part of land. It's clever. He was eager for the lotus foot of Vamanadeva to be on his head, so he just offered his head. And he was kind and he gave.
Maharaja, I'm not sure. I'm not that thorough. My question is related to, Lord punished that Bali Maharaj, and why not to the Shukracharya? Is any of author?
Oh, he gave favor to Bali. Shukracharya doesn't get special favor because his regard. Bali's regard for Vamana or Vishnu is I'm surrendered to you. So he got his favor. It looked like, oh, he's taking everything. Oh, he bound him up. Oh. But he gave him more opulence in heaven and he protected him and he, you know, they're eternally associated. Well, they're associated as long as this universe exists. That's a long time. So that's the favor to Bali, but Shukracharya didn't have that regard for Vishnu, so he didn't impose anything. Right? Yayatamam prapadyante from Bhagavad Gita, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. So Shukracharya got what he wanted, which was nothing. and Bali got what he wanted, everything. The lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. It's according to the regard of the individual. Are you clear? Okay.
Maharaj, one more learning from the class that I want to say again. Like the role of the spiritual master here, like when Bali Maharaj was passed away in the war, like his spiritual master brought him back to life. In the same way, like when Indra was in the battle, and he went to a spiritual master and he suggested, if you continue to fight, you will lose. So wait for the right time. This is not the right time. Like that, the advice was coming from the spiritual master. So when I see the sequence, I could visualize the importance of spiritual masters in everybody's life. That's all I wanted to see it, Maharaj.
Well, a body without a head has a problem. So the human form of life needs a head. That's the Brahminical and Vaishnava guidance, the wisdom that comes from such people. So kings have that in the form of their qualified spiritual masters. Okay? Hare Krishna. One more. Look at this. We're on a roll.
So why is that form of Vamana is dwarf? Why did he come as a dwarf? He can just come as a regular human, right? Like,
well, there's different things to say about that. It's a nice question. Many cases, appearances of the form of the Lord come as a kshatriya. And as a kshatriya, he uses his kshatriya strength, his prowess, to defeat the demons. Now, it's unique that Krishna appeared as a vaishya, a cowherd boy. He just used his prowess without weapons of a kshatriya. But then later, after he left, he used weapons of a used Sudarshan chakra and so many things. But not when he was in Vrindavan. And as a brahmana, it was humiliating. In Brihat Bhagavatamrita, Narada visits Indra and says, oh, you're so fortunate. You're directly, Lord Vamana is here in your abode in the kingdom of heaven and you worship him every day. How fortunate. He goes, no. You know, my mother, Aditi, appealed that the Supreme Lord come and protect. And he came as a dwarf Brahmin. Like, I couldn't take care of myself, but a dwarf Brahmin can take care of me. I'm just humiliated. At least that's what it describes in Brihat Bhagavatamrita. The Lord wanted to show, Indra has a tendency to become proud. We know that. People that are opulent and their hearts are not pure have a tendency to be proud. And Indra has the tendency in different ways. The personality Godhead wants to check the pride of Indra. So he came with a little dwarf Brahmin. He could do more than what Indra could do. He gave him his kingdom back. It wasn't like spanking him or something, punishing him. It was like, you know, watch out for your pride. So that's one of the reasons. One of the reasons. And it's Leela, it's pastime. It says sometimes this, sometimes that. There's variety. That's a very interesting variety. Not just a brahmana, but a dwarf brahmana. Okay. Thank you. Prabhupada ki? Yeah. Yeah.